Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. We're going to break in on a story, as the Scripture shows the break in. As Jairus had went to get Jesus, in behalf of his daughter, in his words were, even now dead. 12-year-old daughter, and Jesus was being fetched and was being summoned, was being brought to the young lady, 12-year-old. And while en route to Jairus' house, there was an event took place. In verse number 24, we'll read the last part of that statement made by what was going on with Jairus. And the Bible said, and Jesus went with him, talking about with Jairus, and much people followed him and thronged him, which means to be pressed on every side. And there was a big crowd all around him. And then it says in verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He didn't need her to tell him for information purposes. He knew all about it. He knew who she was. He knew before he ever walked down that street what was going to be the result, what was going to be the event. But he wanted her to come and tell it. Jesus gets glory out of people telling it, telling what Jesus has done for you. And I've always made this statement that if you have a salvation that never gets told, then you have a salvation that's not worth telling. And if it's not worth telling, it's not worth living. And if it's not worth telling and living, it's not worth trusting to leave here with. But I'm glad when Jesus does a work in a person, anybody, man, woman, boy, or girl, and regardless of their creed or nationality, when God does a work in you of His grace, changes your life in a wonderful way, you will not be ashamed of Him. You'll tell it. You'll want to get on the housetop and tell it that Jesus Christ lives and that He has changed your life. Verse number 34. And He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And then it picks up the story in verse 35 with Jairus and him bringing Jesus to his daughter. And I thought about that, how that Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. This woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. And it looked like an interruption. Jairus was getting Jesus to go, and time was of the essence, because when he left the house, his daughter was at the point of death, even at the point of death. And so time was of the essence, and no doubt Jairus was in a big hurry. And then all of a sudden, here's this woman coming in and touching Jesus, and Jesus stopping and taking time to deal with her and speak to her and to help her and to heal her and all of that. And then he goes on his way to Jairus' house. And I thought about this. That woman wasn't an interruption. That woman wasn't an interruption to Jairus and his plan and his desire, but rather an illustration. Here was a woman with a 12-year problem. He had a 12-year-old girl with a problem, and he showed that God can take care of it. He demonstrated with the woman, I can do what no man can do. I believe you could use this woman and preach when all hope is gone. Help is on the way. I believe you could use Jairus and preach about when all hope is gone. Help is on the way. Amen. And that is true with me and true with you. When all hope was gone, help is on the way. Don't ever give up on God. I believe that's going to be the thrust of what I'm going to be saying this morning. Don't ever quit. Give it. Believe in God. Don't ever give up on God. Amen. He can work when there's looks to be no possible way for Him to work. Now I want to direct your attention, if you would, this morning, back up in verse number 25. The Bible said, "And a certain woman which had an issue." Now I want you to see that. A woman which had an issue. In our text, we have a woman that literally had an issue. What issues do you have this morning? What issues do you have issues? I know you do. Everybody in here this morning has got issues. And spirituality greatly hinges on how you deal with life's issues. Life will deal you out some issues, and you will either deal with them or they will deal with you. Amen. And I believe we can learn from this illustration that it is not the will and plan of God for the issues of life to defeat and to destroy you. Amen. There's victory over life's issues. Could it be that some here this morning have some issues that could be called hurts? You've been hurt. You've been offended. Someone's done something. Someone said something. Or someone didn't do something. Or somebody didn't say something. And you're hurt. And you're dealing with hurts. No doubt about it, in this building this morning, somewhere hides in the pews somebody that's dealing with some issues of hurt. Amen. Hurts are going to be a part of life. They're not meant to dominate you. They're meant to drive you to Jesus. What about some maybe this morning are having issues of habits. Habits in your life that you don't like and is become an addiction, and it is an issue with you. You'd be surprised how many people inside the house of God around the country this morning have people sitting on the pews listening to preaching that are hooked on prescription drugs. I mean, really. Listen, that's right. Amen. It's not such a drive now for the bigger, big name drugs. I mean, they're breaking into houses and stealing your pain medicine and stuff like that. Are you listening? And maybe someone here today like that you're struggling with some habits of drugs or habits of tobacco and habits of smoking or whatever the case is that you have. Maybe it's a habit of pornography. Maybe, amen, come on now. Maybe it even might be a habit this morning of alcohol. Amen. I mean, just a lot of things. Immorality. You might have habits in the realm of immorality. But it's an issue. Say, preacher, what's an issue? An issue is a concern. It is a problem. Anybody here got a problem? Don't raise your hand. Because I know I don't have to ask you to raise your hand because I know everybody in here has got them. Anybody in here got problems? Anybody in here got problems? If you don't have problems, I want to shake your hand after the service. I'd like to have your autograph because you'll be the first one I've ever met in my years of living, amen, that don't have a problem. The only one here this morning that don't have a problem is God, amen. Did you know you can search your King James Bible out from cover to cover and you'll not find the word problem recorded in the scripture? You know why? God don't have any. Amen. God don't have any. So an issue is a concern, a problem. Another definition given for issue is just a matter. Does it matter? Something that matters to you. Another definition is just the word, and it ought to hit home here in Tennessee. It's just the word stuff. I couldn't believe that was in the definition. Stuff. What stuff is going on in your life? I know if you went up north and, amen, they wouldn't have a clue when you said something about the stuff in your life. I've got all kind of stuff going on. Amen. I've got a lot of stuff bothering me. Amen. They don't know what stuff is. Amen. But we do. Amen. But that is in the definition. I mean, you just got some issues. You just got some stuff. Amen. And you need to deal with it. Some have got issues of hurt. Some have got issues of habits. Some have got issues of hate. Amen. You got anger issues. Amen. And attached to that is bitterness and evil speaking and so forth and all of that. Amen. Resentment and you need to deal with that. You'd like to deal with that. You know those feelings that you have toward another brother or sister or someone in your own home. You know those feelings are not pleasing to God, because you can't be right with God whom you have not seen if you can't even love your brother whom you have seen. Some may have issues this morning of hate, and some may have issues this morning with, the way I just word it, with happenings. Just things have happened. And you've got issues with that. Things that's happened. Maybe things you didn't invite. Maybe things you didn't look for. You didn't welcome. You didn't ask for. But there you look around one day, and there they are in your life. Issues, stuff, concerns of happenings. What about issues? I'm just giving some ideas of what issues possibly might be here this morning. What about some issues of the home? What about some issues of the home? Amen. I believe the devil's first inroad and big door to get inside the church is through the home. If he can get in the home, he's got in the house of God automatically. And I just got good news for you this morning, that if you've got issues in your home, and I don't know too many that don't. In fact, I don't know if I know any that don't. Amen. I know a few that I think may possibly not have many, but most have issues in the home. Come on now. That's why you young people better pray hard about who you say I will and I do to. Because it's a big deal, friend, when two separate, independent individuals living separate lives come together to merge those two lives together and live not two lives, but to live one life. But it takes God. It takes God and His grace, His mercy, and His strength. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. And we know that getting saved don't exempt us from that. Because I believe the divorce ratings would show that just about as many Christians go through the divorce court as unbelievers. Those inside the church. As many as those outside the church. And that ought not to be. That ought not to be. But what about issues in the home? Dealing with wayward children. Dealing with wayward children. What about that? Issues in the home. Let me mention another one. What about issues of holiness? Some struggles going on in your life. Some stuff going on in your life. About this area of godliness and holiness and purity. You're dealing with some sin in your life. Got some sin issues in your life. What about some issues of hindrances? You just got some things in your life, that stuff in your life that just keeps hindering you from progress and just hindering you from growth and going forward. What about heart issues in your affection and your desires? Having issues. And there's a lot of other things we could mention this morning, but I believe we have before us an example in the Bible of a woman that dealt with life's issues. She tried it, and we'll talk about it later, but she spent a lot of time dealing with life's issues to no avail. Now, if you're looking for something deep this morning, you're in the wrong place. Now, I want to tell you, I believe I got a message from the Lord, at least the thought, I believe that God is sending to our church, let us know there's help for you in dealing with life's issues. Are you listening? Oh, I feel like I'm preaching to somebody that's got some issues. In fact, I feel like I'm preaching to several that's got some issues. Amen. Are you listening? And could I say, just to help you, the preacher got issues. Amen. I'm not up here with wings and halos. I deal with life's issues as well. I know what disappointment is. I know what defeat is. I know what discouragement is. I know what being distant from the Lord is. I know what going in the wrong direction is. Are you listening? I'm preaching to all of us here this morning. Issues. You'll either deal with them or they'll deal with you. And here's the thing about issues, as we see with this woman. You can't keep it inside. Her issue was from within, but it was made evident on the outside. In fact, everybody around her knew she had an issue. Are you listening? Your issue may start on the inside, but it will surface. Your issue, if you don't deal with it, as we're going to present in this scripture, if you don't deal with it, my friend, it will ruin you. Oh yeah. Don't think lightly of your issue. Don't think lightly of your issue. Your issue will spiritually kill you. Your issue will drain you spiritually. Your issue will take your joy. Your issue will take your desire to serve God. You better not make light of your issue. Are you listening? Amen. In Luke's 8 account, this passage and this story is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and also in the Gospel of Luke. And we find in Luke 8, the Bible refers to this woman as a certain woman. A certain woman. Boy, I'm glad that God's able to get specific and God's able to get personal with those that's willing to get personal with God. If you want to deal with your issues this morning, you can either deal with them in one of the two ways. You could deal with them with self, what you can do, what you know, where you can go, and all of that, or else you can deal with it spiritually. And that's what God can do. Self is what I can do. Spiritually is what God can do. And boy, I'm going to tell you, life can deal some issues to you that you probably can deal with, that you probably can handle, that you probably can make some choices, my friend, to address it. But I want to tell you, there's some issues in life that, my friend, requires God to help you with. Sure it will, amen. And I want to deal with that based on this woman's experience. Now, first of all, I want to try to preach the whole message if I can. But I want to first of all say this morning, let's notice the effects of this issue. What effect did it have on her? See, an issue of life is not bad by itself. What makes it bad is the effects it has on you. When your issue starts causing you to lay down the Bible and quit reading it, then that's a bad deal. When your issue causes you to miss church on purpose, that's a bad deal. Are you listening? And we could go and run that rabbit. If your issue causes a lot of other things, my friend, you know that you're not dealing with it. But let's notice some of the effects of it. I'm just going to mention this. This is not my point. But you can see here where her issue dealt with her personally, physically, socially, domestically, and financially. Her issue affected her in every one of them areas. And we won't preach those, but you can look at it and deal with it. But the first effect I want to deal with this morning, oh mercy, is what God calls it. God calls it a disease. Matthew 9 and verse 20 in this same identical story. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue. Did you hear me? God's word says that this woman, her issue had diseased her. Now, I don't think anybody in here this morning would make light of a disease. I don't think anybody in here this morning, if there was some diagnosis of a disease of any description, that it wouldn't send an alarm through you. Probably keep you up at night. Probably immediately you'd begin asking, well, what kind of testing and what kind of cures and what kind of treatments and what kind of medications and what doctor should I go see and what specialist and why? Because just the very term disease sends shockwaves through your system. Well, God's word, in light of the application we're making from this woman, an issue is it can disease your life. It is an affliction. It is an abnormal affliction. And there's sometimes, if you're not careful, you allow issues of life to become a disease spiritually in you. I noticed this last night before I was going, well, I'd laid down the bed and I was just reading these verses again. And the Lord let me see twice, Mark 5, verse 29. The last word in verse 29 is the word plague. Again, in verse 34, the last word in verse 34 is the word plague. And further supporting the point, her issue was a disease. I got interested in that word plague. And I began to look that word plague up, and here's what I found out. That it means in the Strong's, the Greek concordance, the word plague means a scourge or a whip. Oh, help us, Lord. How many people are allowing issues to whip them? How many people are allowing issues to be a plague, to be a scourge, to be a whip in their life? Oh, yes, amen. How many of God's people are feeling this morning whipped? Feeling whipped by all the stuff going on in your life. The issues in your life is whipping up on you. And I don't know about you, but I never have liked a whipping. I never did like to get in a fight and get whipped. I tried to avoid that as much as possible. I found out that getting whipped wasn't healthy. And then I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't like the whip that Daddy had either. I've said it here before, Daddy didn't give whippings, he gave whoopings. And there's a big difference. If you've never had a whooping, then you don't know. You just don't have a clue. There's no words to describe it. But the first effect that this issue had on her was it was a disease or a plague. Could you agree with me, number two, that this the second effect that I see, that I believe that no doubt was true with her issue, was that her issue not only had the effect of a disease, but the effect of distraction. I just about would guarantee you that her total focus was on her issue. About guarantee it's all she thought about, Brother Carroll. Guarantee you it's about all that she thought about, talked about. It was probably on her mind every waking moment. Her issue was a distraction. Oh, you can't serve God without faith. We know that. But I want to add a second one. You can't serve God without focus. If you don't focus, if you can't concentrate, if you can't think, my friend, listen, you're in a mess. And her issue, you know, she'd had it for 12 years. Not off and on. We're talking about 12 years of unending issue. And you know it was a distraction. You know it was a distraction to her, consuming her focus and her every thought. And it became so big in her life that she couldn't even see around it. That was the total thing. That was the big thing. That was the only thing How many in here this morning's got issues? You've allowed it to get so big in your life that you can't even hardly see around it. You've allowed it to get so big in your life that it's consuming your every thought. Could I mention a third truth that I believe is here and the effect that's upon her life? And that is, I believe that the effect was, it had a dominating effect. I don't believe that it was just on her mind and in her thoughts, but I believe it controlled her every move and every decision. I believe that every choice was based on her issue. Her issue was in the driver's seat of her life, controlling and directing her, dominating her. Well, I want to tell you, issues in life, listen, never supposed to occupy the position of dominion. Never, no. The only one in your life that should have dominion is Jesus. Let Jesus have dominion. Let Him reign in your life. Let Him be your king. But if you're not careful, you will let issues rise, my friend, and get on the throne of your heart and become a dominator and begin to dominate and dominate your life. Number four, it had a defeating effect on her, no doubt. How do you think she felt when she'd done all that she did to try to deal with her issue, but it didn't get better, but rather grew worse? Do you think that inspired her? Do you think that she went home and said, "Glory to God, I feel like something good's going to happen to me today"? No, I guarantee you this woman battled with hopelessness. I guarantee you this woman battled, my friend, with defeat. No hope. It's never going to change. It's not going to get any better. How many, don't raise your hand, but how many, I wonder, in this building have got such thoughts lurking in your brain, in your mind? It's not going to get any better. It's not going to turn around. It's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse. If you're not careful, you'll be defeated by life's issues. I guarantee she didn't have no victory. She probably didn't go around smiling like a lot of Baptists. She probably didn't go around smiling, probably didn't go around with a good word, probably wasn't positive, probably negative, pessimistic, amen, like a lot of people today. What's behind that? Issue, stuff, defeat. Could we say, number five, that it had a draining effect on her? Literally, a draining effect. And you think about it. The life of the flesh is in the blood, the Bible says, and she had an issue of blood, a chronic hemorrhage, and you could say in application that literally her life was draining out of her. Well, I want to tell you, if you're not careful, your issues will drain the life out of you. Your issues will not make you better. Your issues has the graveyard spiritually in mind about you. Mm-hmm. And if you're here today and you're lost, never been saved, you're not a Christian, I want to tell you, your life, you've got issues in your life. Everybody does. Job said, man that's born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Everybody's got trouble, but how are you dealing with it? A lot of people allowing their issues to drive them to pills and pot and potions and partying and all of that stuff that doesn't help the issue. Only get your mind off of it for a moment or two. I talked to someone the other day that had mentioned an issue in their life, not of our church, but they'd mentioned an issue in their life, and they said, "Preacher, I bloated, I failed, I said, what'd you do?" And they said, "Well, I allowed Mr. Alcohol to come in." I said, "Well, did it help you?" And of course, the answer I knew was coming was no. Did it fix the issue? Did it erase the issue? Did it do away with the issue? Did it stop the issue? No. Negative. All it done was just put another stronghold and another tighter grip of the devil in your life. Amen. Hers, it had a draining effect. Then it had a defiling effect. According to the law in Leviticus 15 and 19, if a woman have an issue and her issue is in her flesh, be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. So you can make the application very clearly seen that it had a defiling effect. Boy, if you're not careful, your issues will defile you this today. It'll defile you. Bring sin in your life. If you're not careful when you have issues, listen now, when you have issues in your life, if you're not careful, you'll drop down the guards and you'll open the gates of your life, making you vulnerable to things of the flesh. Sin of the flesh, pleasures of the flesh. You better watch it that your issue doesn't become that which defiles you. And we all know illustrations of people that allowed their issues to drive them into immorality and into sin and iniquity. We all know people like that. But I can testify, I've never seen one that did that it helped them. Never seen it. I've never seen a one that allowed their issue to defile them, to make them unclean. I've never seen a one of them that went in that direction that it ever helped them, that it ever helped their issue. Are you listening? Sin is not the answer. Well, preacher, I've got issues. I'm going to deal with it with loose living. Well, let me give you somebody that you might need to interview before you make that choice. You need to travel into Luke 15 and talk to a young man that don't even have a name. We just know him as the prodigal son. Just ask him about his issues, and you know he had them. Probably one of his issues was he didn't want a daddy to tell him what to do. Probably didn't want no parental authority in his life. More than likely, I guarantee you that was behind it. Not to mention that only, Brother Ivan, no doubt he probably had friends that had tasted the far country and had experienced and exploited the far country and had told him all about what's down there in the loose life lane. But oh, and then he one day made a choice to deal with issues. I'll run from my issues and I'll go to the area of loose living. And my friend, you see what happens. He wound up with nothing. Barefoot and broke in the hog pen. Are you listening? Oh, God help us all this morning to watch out that the issues do not drive us and have a defiling effect in our life. And then, let me say number 7, that it had a dividing effect. What do you mean? According to the law, in Leviticus 15, when an issue of this sort took place, they had to be separated. They had to be taken away from family. They had to be taken away from friends. They had to be set apart. They had to be isolated, if you will, because of that defilement. Well, I want to tell you, if you're not careful, you'll allow your issues this morning, my friend, to get in between you and your parents, and between you and your wife or husband, get in between you and your preacher, but get in between you and a fellow church member. If you're not careful, you'll allow life's issues to divide you, have a dividing effect. Are you listening? She couldn't have fellowship with a lot of people on account of it. There's a lot of people like that I've seen in the ministry. Can't really have fellowship with them because they've got issues. And their issues have defiled them, and they're hateful and bitter and mad and all that. Well, let me hasten on, not only the effects of it, but number 2, could I talk about the efforts that this issue brought about in her life? I mean, even her, she knew that her issues needed to be dealt with. You could have asked her at any time during them 12 years, do you want your issue dealt with? I guarantee you she would have given affirmation, yes. But here's the thing. For 12 years, she did try to deal with it. She went to great extent. She went to great efforts to deal with her issues. She tried a little of this and a whole lot of that, trying to deal with her issue. But guess what the Bible says? After the summary of all that she made an effort to do to deal with her issues, guess what the Bible said? Was nothing bettered but grew worse. So that tells you this morning, that tells me this morning, that there's some areas that we do not need to look into for a cure, for a help, for relief, for release from our issue. There's some things that, my friend, people will look into that try to find some help when there is no help to be found. Are you listening? The first thing that was shown that she did was that she went out to many physicians. Can you imagine? I mean, the Bible doesn't say she went to 3, 4, 10, 20 even. But the Bible said many. That means that there was so many of them that it'd just been easier to write down the word many to describe it. She went to, doctor after doctor. Can you imagine going to this one and it didn't help? Going to another one, they didn't help. Go to another and another and another and another. Constantly, probably her friends were saying, "Hey, we heard of another doctor, Dr. Doodle Digger, whatever. Hey man, he could probably help you." And she'd go to that one with high hopes, thinking, "Well, maybe this is the answer." Only to leave with defeat. Only to leave with discouragement. Only leave with depression. She went to many physicians, thinking, this will help. I know they've got the remedy. They've got the treatment. But the Bible plainly says in verse 26, our text, that she had suffered many things of many physicians. And the latter part of the verse says, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. If you're trying to deal, common sense. Could we have some common sense in the house this morning? I mean, just plain old horse sense, as my daddy used to say. Common sense. If you're going and trying to deal with issues of life in this area, that area, or another area, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, you're looking in the wrong place. Amen. Now, that's just good common sense. Just good common sense, but not only in many physicians, but much spending. That's another effort. You know what? Another effort. Bible said that she had spent, verse 26 said she had spent all that she had. Can you believe that? She spent all she had trying to deal with the issue, and when she was bankrupt with nothing, the issue was still very much alive and active and dominating her life. Are you listening? Verse 43 of Luke 8, the Bible said, and the woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians. Somebody in here ought to say amen right there. You don't have to go to the doctor too many times to spend all you got. Are you listening? I should have got an amen all over the house right there. She had spent all of her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. I'm talking about efforts. What efforts have been made to address issues in lives right here in this building today to no avail? You've tried this and you've tried that and you went to see this doctor and that doctor and you've spent your money here and spent your money there, and guess what? You're still looking in the mirror at a miserable human being with issues. Are you listening? Much spending. Spent all she had. You can look at that in a couple of ways. One, you can look at her much spending in the fact that her issue became more important than her money. Her issue became more important than her money. She spent every dime she had trying to get better. You know, when you've got issues, especially physical issues, well, not just physical issues. I mean, a lot of the issues I mentioned, When you've got issues, physical issues, financial issues, domestic issues, whatever, did you know it takes away the importance of money? You know what? I mean, what good's money if you're miserable? What good's money if you're dying? Not just physically, but I'm talking about even spiritually. What good is money when there's no joy in life? You think people's blowing their brains out today because they're loving life? You think people's taking handfuls of pills, trying to kill themselves? Do you think that's coming from a life that's just eat up with joy and fun and laughter? No. People get to that point, my friend, when nothing matters. They get to that point, and I'm talking about people with money in the bank, kill themselves. Bunch of money in the bank, kill themselves. Amen. There are some issues that will come in our life, that can come in our life, my friend, that would take the importance away from a lot of things. Now listen to this. Not only could you look at her much spending in the fact that her issue had become more important to her than her money, but also if you're not careful, you could look at this in this light. Her issue had got such a grip on her life that it pulled her and pulled her and pulled her into deeper debt. Did you know there is I'm trying to think of the term. Is it a compulsive, possessive disorder? Is that the name of it? Obsessive compulsive disorder. That's where people has got to have more of this and new of that. I'm talking about on and on, because they get just a little bit of a positive feeling when they get something new or something bigger or they get something better. It doesn't matter if they're living beyond their means. It doesn't matter if they've maxed out every credit card in Tennessee. It doesn't matter, my friend, if they've done went through every dime the family's got. Amen. Are you listening? I'm talking about just like the prodigal. He left with more than enough funds in Luke 15 to have lived probably the rest of his life on. But he went to the far country, and guess what? He allowed his issues to pull him and drain him financially, and he blowed every dime he had trying to deal with his issue. If you're not careful, you'll do that. Wouldn't surprise me a bit that gamblers are not trying to deal with issues. Amen. Those going to the lottery, buying lottery tickets. Amen. Come on now. Those buying lottery tickets probably trying to deal with issues. Probably trying to deal with issues. Amen. Trying to buy a bigger this and a bigger that and a newer this and that. Probably behind that is an issue problem. Whoa, come on now. Probably trying to deal with an issue. I'm talking about efforts. I'm talking about going to the extreme. I'm talking about going to the ultimate extent of her supply. The difference between what she did, though, and debt was she was spending money she had, though. Debt is spending money you don't have. Say amen right there. But there was efforts. But I can't leave this message like this, where there was just the effects and the efforts. I do want to talk about the escape. I thank God there was a deliverance. It didn't end in despair. It didn't end in the dark scene of a woman with an issue, with no hope and no help, broke and can't find no help or relief. No, because business picks up in verse 27 when she had heard of Jesus. Thank God there's a new doctor coming through town. He's the great physician. He's never lost a case. Amen. He's never turned nobody away. Thank God he's able to deal with any issue. He's able to deal with any issue. Hallelujah for that. And I want to tell you what she had to, and I got a lot more to preach right here. Let me just give you some of it here. She realized, of course, dealing with the issue, there wasn't no escape and blaming people. Blaming others. It's her fault, his fault, their fault. How many people's trying to do that? Eve and Adam did that. In the garden, they had issue. had issue. They broke fellowship with God, had issue of sin, disobedience, and guess what? They started trying to blame somebody. If you're not careful, you'll think that's the way to deal with your issue. You know why? You know why you blame somebody? You're trying to justify it. You're trying to justify what's going on in your life. Amen? Trying to justify what's going on in your life by blaming somebody. Well, it's his fault, her fault. She said this, she done that, he done that, he said this. No, that ain't going to deal with your issue. But she didn't deal with the issue that way, and she didn't deal with her issue with self-pity. Just crawl in a hole and feel sorry for yourself and waiting on your last breath to go out. That's not the way. Self-pity is not the way to deal with it. That's what depression is. Depression will put you in a dark room with no windows, amen, and don't want to talk to nobody and don't want to see nobody, don't want to go to church, don't want to read your Bible, don't want to pray. Come on now. I've talked to people like that. Are you listening? Spend days in a dark room. Can you hear the preacher? That's not normal. That's not healthy. Probably help you a whole lot, praise God. Get out of the dark room, dark house, and get out in the sunshine, amen. That's right, amen. You ever wondered why there's no flu epidemics during the summer? Come on now. You ever wondered why they don't give flu shots in the summer? Flu shots only show up in the wintertime. That's because when the wintertime, people come, and this was on the news, people comes, gets out of the sunshine and stays in the indoors so much, out of the sunshine where that good old wholesome vitamin D comes from. Amen. The devil wants to put you in the house. Amen. Lock you up, keep you hidden, get you out of the sunshine, S-U-N and S-O-N. Amen. To where you get sick and depressed all the time. God help us. Well, I need to get off of that. But she didn't deal with it that way. I tell you what she did have to do. And I'll just mention this quickly. She had to deal with the people problem. Oh. When she realized that Jesus was coming through town, the first thing she noticed was the press. First thing she noticed was the crowd thronging Jesus. Well, if you're not careful, you'll let people hinder you from dealing with your issue. You'll let people keep you away from Christ dealing with your issue. How many people are lost without God, not a Christian, not a saved person, they're on the brink of dying without Christ, are you listening, because they can't get their eyes off of people. How many times have we witnessed to somebody and they won't get saved, they won't even entertain the thoughts of what you're sharing with them about the gospel because of people? How many times you've heard the term hypocrite used? And you know there was some in that crowd, but she wasn't going for the crowd. She was going for the Christ. The crowd can't help you no how. The crowd can only add to your issues, give you more issues. But I want to tell you, if you'll get your mind off the crowd and get your mind on the Christ and get to Him, praise God, business will pick up. She had to deal with the people. She had to be done with the physicians. Woo! She had to get done with it. Amen? Done with it. I'm done with it. You'll never go to Jesus if you're trying to find help in everything else. Amen. Let me give you this right here and write it down. Let's say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Write this down. I'm about done. Listen. There had to be, first of all, a consciousness. If I'm going to have an escape from my issue, we know the whole deliverance of this issue, from this issue, Brother Rob, was of Jesus, right? Had to be, all right. First thing, there had to be a consciousness of Jesus when she heard of Jesus. She had to be made mentally aware of Jesus. She was alert to Jesus. Number two, she had to have confidence in Jesus. She had to have confidence in Jesus. Do you hear it in her terms? Listen to her terminology right here. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. Listen to what she said. For she said, if I may... Now I'm talking about a woman that's done spent all she had trying to get better, trying to deal with her issue. I'm talking about a woman that's already tried many physicians. Actually, she said suffered. And that means to experience pain. She took her issue to a doctor, doctors, physicians, and experienced pain. Oh, yeah. But look what it says. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Hear that confidence? Do you hear that faith? Do you hear that faith? Do you believe this morning? Come on, this simple question to you this morning. Do you really believe that Jesus can deal with your issues? It's not a matter whether I believe it for you. It's a matter of whether you believe it. Do you believe there's hope? Do you believe that there's help? Do you believe that Jesus can reverse it? Do you believe Jesus can turn it around? Do you believe Jesus is the answer? Is there, I'm talking about inside of you, are there faith in you this morning and a confidence that if I can just get to Jesus, this thing can be reversed, I can get some help, and my issue will be taken care of? Do you really believe that this morning? There had to be a consciousness of Jesus. There had to be a confidence in Jesus. There had to be a coming to Jesus. She, my friend, made the move to go to where Jesus was. She made the move. There had to be a coming. How many this morning are letting the issues drive them away from Christ instead of drive them to Christ? Are you listening to the preacher? I'm trying to preach God's message this morning. Simple, I know it is, but I know it's God's message. I've known all week long, and that's very seldom with me that I know that much ahead of time what God wants me to preach. But I want to tell you, God spoke to my heart early, about Monday, I believe it was, to let me know that this is what He wanted me to preach this morning. Because folks need to deal with your issues, or your issues are going to deal with you. And not just deal with them, but deal with them spiritually. And to deal with them spiritually is your direction, your desires is toward Christ. Amen. Amen. Don't waste your time on else, other things if you can get to Jesus. There's got to be a coming to Christ. Don't let your issues keep you from Him or drive you away from Him or put distance between you and Him. But let your issues drive you to Him. Amen. And not only a consciousness of Christ, a confidence in Christ, a coming to Christ, but there's got to be a contact with Christ. Got to be a contact. She said, I've got to touch Him. I've got to touch Him. Faith will touch the Lord. We're not talking about Jesus physically and bodily come walking through these pews this morning. We're not talking about that. We're talking about by faith touching the Lord. Amen. Reach out by faith and touch Him. Reach out. Reach toward Him by faith. She said, oh, if I may but just touch His clothes. And when she touched Him, Matthew's gospel records that when she touched Him, virtue went out of Christ. That word virtue means healing power. Glory to God. What went out of Christ was greater than what was going out of her. Amen. What was going out of Christ was superior to her issue. He had power within Him that only was released by a touch. Oh yes. When she touched him, virtue and power flowed out of Him into her. Not only there was the consciousness, confidence and coming, and there was a contact with Christ. Don't stop till you've touched Him. And listen, you say, well, how will I know? I can't define that, but I can say this. If you ever touch Him concerning your issue, you will know it. You will know that you've touched Him because a touch brings transformation. Amen. A touch brings a change. Glory to God, amen. And that's the last thought. There will be a change by Christ. He changed her issue by stopping it. Amen. He changed her, not only her issue, but He changed her inwardly. He went to the root of the problem. Let me just say this to you, and I'm about done. Listen, let me say this to you. If you're not willing to be changed, if you're not willing to change, you're probably not willing for your issue to be dealt with. Just like that illustration I gave a few weeks ago of that marriage that I dealt with, that was pretty much history. And I wouldn't have given you a run over nickel. I mean, it was as gone as I've ever seen a marriage gone. It was gone. And all of a sudden, they're doing great and everything. And I mean, I spent hours and hours and hours dealing with them. And I asked the question, what was the secret? And one of them said, I quit praying for God to change the other one. I started praying for God to change me. And when God began to change the one, then He had an inroad to deal with the other. And both changed, both doing good, both serving God still yet today, many years later. Are you willing for Christ to change you? Or you just want Him to deal with your issue but not change you? You just want Him to stop the issue and the aggravation and the irritation and the problem and the vexation that's coming from your issue. You just want all of that taken care of so you can happily continue on your merry way. I believe you can find in this passage, in this illustration, you can't separate the individual from the issue. Can you? You can't. You can't. Here it is. He changed her issue. He changed her immediately. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's hope for you. Jesus can deal with your issue, and I mean right now. I mean right now. Praise God. Get to Him. Touch Him. Faith. Believing. Amen. And I want to tell you, He can turn your issue around. Amen. He changed her issue. He changed her immediately. He changed her inwardly. And then He changed her identity. We don't even know what this woman's name was. All we know is the woman having an issue of blood. That's all we ever know. That was her identity, Brother Darrell. She was known by her issue. Did you hear about so-and-so? This is what's going on in their life. Are you listening? Your issue. And then it changed her identity. Changed her identity. I hope Miss Paul Sue would be making her way. Dealing with life's issues. I guess if I had a title for the message, it would be Touching Jesus with Your Issue. Touching Jesus with your issue. I wrote this down this morning while Sister Paul Sue's getting ready to play a verse of invitation. I wrote this down, five words. I wrote down the word irritation. Her issue was an irritation that led to desperation, that desired a cancellation, that wanted a liberation, and restoration. You'll never desire, listen, this is good. You'll never desire your issue to be dealt with until you begin viewing it as an irritation and an aggravation, something that you do not like. You will not seek to touch the Lord about your issue until you first see that it's irritating and that it's increasingly getting worse. And that is the course of sin. That's the path of sin. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Touching Jesus with your issue. Let's all stand to our feet.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.